hear about the Apple textbook announcement?
No, I didn't.
There was a announcement by Apple at the Guggenheim in New York about an iBooks authoring tool that's it appears to be focused on the textbook creation market, but you can get an app from Apple for free that can be used to create iPad books.
Oh yeah, now I remember you telling me about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess people were talking about it being a bigger thing potentially beforehand than it was, because it sounds like people are saying, it appears to be focused on the education market. I know I was listening to a podcast with Andy Inoko, and he said that I like that. It seems like it's focused on making education textbooks that are long and focused on, a certain kind of segment. But anybody can download the authoring tools and make their own stuff.
Do you have some plans to make your own book?
Not any immediate plans. I guess I could move into the publishing industry if I come up with a good idea for a bestseller. Remember that movie idea I had? Maybe I could adapt that to a novel. I don't think I ever really got into that on the podcast, and I was planning to, or maybe I did. I don't think I did. I had my movie pitch, Caligula versus the Sea Lions.
Why don't you tell the listeners more about that movie idea?
There's a guy who gets into a dispute with the sea lions at the Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. And then he goes to West Virginia coal country to raise an army. And they get into a big CGI battle.
Sounds awesome. Maybe we could start a crowdsource funding site.
But I don't really want to follow through with the whole making the CGI battle scene. I guess that was like something that would have to be an unshot part of the script or something. Well, in an earlier episode, in podcast number 3, which originally aired December 2010. So I'm reaching back, and I'm bringing this up unprompted, but it occurred to me that I should look into this story, and then that I had mentioned this on a previous podcast. So when I first mentioned the Hipstamatic app, I repeated the backstory that was offered on the product website about the iPhone app Hipstamatic being based on a camera in the 1980s called the Hipstamatic 100 or whatever, and there's some backstory about three brothers in Wisconsin, and it appears that was a fabrication, and it's not really important, but I wanted to correct that because I guess I had taken this marketing story at face value and passed it on. Now, I looked into it just recently, and it turns out it was nonsense, apparently. But the reporting that I saw And none of this, this is all very vague. Both the story and rebuttal are vague and uncertain, but it appears that, like, there's some articles written in late December 2010, so, like, a week or two after we had our podcast, someone looked into it and rebutted the story. So I thought it must be nonsense, and it turns out it was. I think that you've also heard, joining us are the Parakeets, Dodger, Bell, and Sparty, or Sparta, as I often call her. Yeah, sometimes they're unpredictable. You guys are talking, and now you're a little more mellow. We had a big story about websites being shut down by the feds. MegaUpload.com has several of its executives facing criminal charges, and people are being arrested over it. The website's being shut down. You can check the show notes at djmcloud.com. Look for podcast 23, and you can see the links, because, you know, I mean, you could read up about the story and what's going on. Now, there's a lot of angles to the story, but definitely one of the angles is that legitimate sites, however I guess that is defined these days, but a lot of legitimate sites are very concerned about the way this prosecution is going, because they're really concerned about where the line is in terms of what acting in good faith is for removing infringing content and other matters. So, I mean, I think this is definitely overreach, and it's just another example of the government working for the copyright holders, for the movie and record industry, doing their bidding. There's definitely a lot of information in the indictment. It's certainly going to be a complicated case. What do you think about this stuff, Jessica?
I think that the record companies failed to stay modern in their business, and so now they're taking their power, which is finance, and they're going straight to the government and having them fight the war for them. And the government really shouldn't be involved. And it's scary how, you know, one of the other topics we're going to discuss on this podcast is the SOPA and the PIPA, or SOPA and PIPA bills. Government's getting involved a lot with what's going on online. And I think one of the comments I read in the links that are in the show notes is that they don't know a lot about the internet, and they can't go making sweeping changes and laws without really understanding what it is. A lot of them are older, out of touch with reality, so into their own worlds that they don't get it. Now, that's not all of them, but
most of them.
You know, when you're talking about a voting situation, you're talking about a majority versus a minority.
Well, they're fed propaganda by the industry directly. The industry the Hollywood has a lot of powerful lobbyists. This is an industry that's been around in different forms over the years since the 20s. I mean, this is an industry that has a lot of power in Washington, and they certainly know how to charm people, how to talk to people, and I challenge, like, people to, you know, look for alternative forms of entertainment. I think the Paul Graham of Y Combinator said that, you know, he had this blog post. The title of the blog post is "Kill Hollywood." And it's like just the idea is that he's the first sentence is Hollywood appears to have peaked, and he goes on to say, he wants to talk about, like, it says, quote, how do you kill the movie and TV industries? And then after some other stuff, so the best way to approach this problem is to ask yourself, what are people going to do for fun in 20 years instead of what they do now? Unquote. And, he's challenging people to come up with, the entertainment of the future, as it were. And why would it have to run through Hollywood, right? Why would they assume that people are going to continue to want their content when last year had fewer box office receipts than the year before? They had the lowest number of people in theaters since sometime in the 90s. I think that besides the apparent panic that's fueling their desire to take away rights, put in censorship, just in a flailing attempt to claw some mostly or all phantom revenue because of piracy. And during this time, that I think that it's pretty clear, and I don't really think there's. I think that a lot of, I'm not sure, but I think that moviegoers of a lot of different demographics and people like me who don't go to movies at all, or certainly at all very often, I haven't gone to a movie since The Dark Knight. The movies, like people are disappointed in the movies. I think the content is lacking quality, isn't it? Don't you think that a lot of people are disgruntled with the quality of a lot of men, women, younger, older? Who's really getting the movies they want these days, other than Twilight fans?
I was just thinking the same thing. Despite a lot of the crap that's out there, there seems to be those successes, which might also be crap. But I think that when movies gained their popularity, it was in a time when people wanted to escape. And I think now there's a bigger need for authenticity in our communications and our messaging. We don't want to just cover up and escape. We want to interact and understand. And so that's why I think part of the reality and the YouTube and the sensations on there and the real people has come from, this connection with something that's real.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of more possibilities for human communication, especially when you open it up to many instead of the one-to-many or few-to-many model of traditional broadcast media. I think, yeah, look at the audiences. Look at the different types of content providers that have found audiences on the internet. Like you said, video makers on YouTube and people that have podcasts or websites that are in niches that the internet makes possible, that provide a wider point of view. Definitely part of all that. Now, I was just wondering, rounding kind of back a ways, you were saying you'd never used megaupload.com, right?
Right.
Now, I don't know if I've used it. I don't think so. I certainly had never uploaded anything to it. I feel like maybe for one of those accounting classes I was taking, maybe another student sharing course materials used a site like that, but I'm not sure it was that site. And those sites that you could just, you could download a file from, but it would only be there for a certain amount of time, and they would show ads in front of you before you downloaded it. I'm wondering, I don't know if that was exactly what Mega Upload did. I actually really don't know, and now they're shut down. But they were supposed to be some sort of file sharing site, right? And they were like accused of piracy, but they had some takedown procedure. But there was like this investigation going into them for a while.
Right.
And
2 years.
Yeah. And then, so it's amazing, you know, again, like law enforcement doing serious investigation into these file sharing, you know, companies when, like, what if this type of, I'm trying to think of this type of investigation being done into a New York investment bank. I don't know, like, if this unit can be put on Wall Street. You know, I'm not an expert on the law, but it seems like this is, you know, this kind of use of resources against a company like this. I'm not really sure. I'm convinced, but I do not know too much about this particular company. I think that the overall chilling effect though is negative. So, you know, I don't know. I think that obviously people that want to share pirated material are going to be able to do it. There's going to be another technology that'll enable it at you know, at some point for anyone that wants to do it. Always another one around the corner.
Yeah, and it's no surprise that this is coming out around the same time that the SOPA and PIPA is coming out. You know, it's just a lot of posturing and throwing our weight around and trying to show the bullying.
Yeah, I think you know, I think the as Politico notes, it's the fight is far from over on this stuff,
mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of really hardcore shills for the MPAA, like Pat Leahy and Lamar Smith. So, you know, both Democrats and Republicans are, you know, in many cases, just total shills for that, whether they got them by lobbying or offering them access to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Now, we're reading, Pat Leahy is involved in these bills, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, Pat Leahy had a walk-on, a small part in, but I believe a small speaking role in The Dark Knight. I know I mentioned that was the last movie I saw in the theaters. That's true, but it occurs to me. You know, he was in that ballroom scene, and I mean, it's just kind of lame how he's just that much of a shill. Maybe for like these small parts in movies, like not even just like cash or, you know, whatever the currency, like it's because he's trying to take basically a lot of censorship on the internet by corporations because, you know, well, you know, it's something that that might help him land a small role.
Yeah, it's just amazing how selfish people are and how they can affect millions and millions of people with their own selfishness.
And how grandiose that someone someone like Pat Leahy would be, that, you know, like, this really isn't really worth, you know, taking away all these rights and mess, you know, making even worse law. We already have terrible laws like DMCA to deal with and stuff, and putting more laws on, you know, and maybe it's just for a few stupid parts or something like really unimportant, like, you know, basically like glorified extra kind of stuff. It's not really a plot worthy of the Two-Face or whatever.
Right.
Did you see the previews for the new Batman movie?
I believe I have.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they're gonna the whatever the villain is attacks football games or something, right? That's what you learn.
Who's the new girl? Isn't it Anne Hathaway?
I don't know.
No. So they were doing Catwoman.
I think there is a Catwoman character.
I think it's her. I think it's Anne Hathaway, who hosted the Oscars. With her. Yeah. And these days are going super crazy today.
Yeah, it's Barty has a wood toy. Yeah, you birds.
Well, we invited the birds because they are on a lot of the music we do.
That's true. Sparty has a wood toy that she drags and pulls around, and so now she's pulled it over her perch, and so that she's dragging it around, and you kind of hear that. I like when she gets the nice clear bell sounds. Those are good. So I have a pair of earphones that you got me from a company called Soul Republic. I don't really know anything about it. SOL Republic. They're pretty cool. They're nice. You know, I never had like nicer earbuds before. I've had a few. You know, I've had headphones, but in terms of earbuds, I'd always use the Apple ones. And it's nice to get ones that aren't just the ones that come with it.
Yeah, I guess I'm still on my quest for headphones.
I know. Are you? Yeah, cause you. I know you got. Maybe you should get a good pair of like Bose, like noise reduction headphones.
Yeah, and then I can listen to that app that makes all sorts of noises.
Yeah, the app I mentioned in the, I think it was two podcasts ago, in podcast 21, I mentioned the iOS app. It's just called White Noise. Yeah, and it gives you background sounds, so you can have sounds like ocean or fan or sprinkler or white noise or pink noise or brown noise. And yeah, there's people like different versions of those. Yeah, I don't know. I've used it some. I haven't used it all the time since I reviewed it, but I have been using it. It's in the list of it's in that pile of many applications I have open on my iPhone. So do you have, have you heard a lot of buzz about the 49ers in the playoffs?
No, but, when they won their first playoff game, there's a lot of excitement around it. So I'm happy to hear they have gotten further.
Well, yeah, they're in the NFC Championship game, so now they have a shot to go to the Super Bowl.
Alright!
I don't know when the game is, but sometime this weekend.
Didn't you pick them in my poll?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you listed them as you thought they would be in them and the Green Bay. Because everybody picked Green Bay.
Big upset. Yeah. So if you go to the show notes, you can see a link. The link is Obey the Goose. You go to that link, and you can see a graphic that's, it's like this posterized graphic, but it's derived from the Bell. Yeah, my parakeet, Bell. And it's this poster that says Obey the Goose. And it's a poster, so you know, you can enjoy it, you can print it out. Put it up in your town. And I have a recommendation for music. I think I've played a few of these songs. We've been driving around and stuff, so you've heard a few of them. And I thought maybe I would write a review, or I would do like a really, you know, drawn out review of it. But I don't know if I'm going to do that, because it's such an epic, sprawling, and kind of disorganized work. It's kind of hard, be hard as a mere podcaster to review it. But it's Smile by the Beach Boys. There's a 5-disc set called the Smile Sessions I've been listening to on Spotify. It's really amazing, some of the stuff that Brian Wilson was doing in the late 60s, and he never completed the album, really. It was basically released in 2011. But it's very cool. Like, it's very amazing stuff, like Wind Chimes, Surf's Up. Some of these songs are just amazing. Our Prayer, Dialogue. There's a lot of different versions of these different songs, and there's these bits of like children's song lyrics. It's very strange sometimes, but you can definitely, you know, there's definitely the pop genius of Brian Wilson crackling underneath the kind of confusion and experimentation of it. What do you think of the one of the songs you've heard that I've played?
I like it a lot. I think it's very different than the Beach Boys. You know that sound?
Well, it's certainly different than the kind of early hits. I guess it's easier to see as sort of an evolution of Pet Sounds in some ways.
That's true.
But I think the popular imagination is pretty much taken up with the compilation Endless Summer, that era of Beach Boys. That's the type of stuff that most people think of, and those are great classics. You really gotta, you know, love the Run and Surf City and Wendy. I mean, that's such classic, but you also then, I also enjoy the God Only Knows, Wouldn't It Be Nice, all the odd but amazing songs of Pet Sounds. Did you see any of those photos? Did you see that photo I have linked to, the Vancouver newspaper photos?
I did. I browsed through a couple of those. So why they made them, the police made them release the photos so they could catch the rioters? Or?
Well, no, it was... The Vancouver newspaper was forced to turn over photos to the police. So, as they did that, they published them all, too, apparently.
Got it.
I think that's what happened. And so, you saw that riot with the huge fire and stuff? There's other stuff, too. They're smashing storefronts. They're attacking police cars. They're going to town. And I think it's because the local hockey team lost in the Stanley Cup, and so it's pretty out of hand. Vancouver,
what do you think about that, taking that so seriously?
Oh, I think it's extraordinarily bizarre. It's shocking. Not shocking, though, if you know Canada at all, because they take hockey way too seriously. It's you know, very much their national sport, I think, and they're just, you know, they really go, you know, they really get extremely emotional. But, you know, about hockey, now, this was the Boston Bruins year that they won, and, you know, that was a big thing for Boston hockey fans. I don't know, like, I think that just shows you it's a very narrow, very sectarian thing. They're not at all interested. Like when their team loses, they are aghast. And I don't know if it's just if there was some sort of violent undercurrent that fueled this for some reason, or if it was all mainly down to hockey. But a lot of these people in these riots are wearing hockey jerseys and stuff. I don't know. It doesn't really prove anything. But I mean, you know, I tend to think like it's an emotion fueled sport spectacle that you don't see outside, for example, maybe English soccer fans. That's, I think, what Canadian hockey fans fit into. And I'm trying to think, like, American football fans can be up there, but I don't know if, you know, I mean, then again, right, there's ridiculous stuff like Alabama, LSU, fan-on-fan attack stuff going through the courts, you know. So sports, I think, you know, you see the culture of sport these days, it does seem like it could often get out of hand. Very quickly. Then again, in the 90s, Vancouver won a Stanley Cup, and they rioted. So, you know, I don't know what you can really expect from that. Well, you know what, I think that our, the music, stuff we were talking about, I started a DJM Cloud music SoundCloud page. So I have I started uploading our music. So I have the two Screambird songs uploaded, and I have the every song I write lately sounds the same EP, the three songs from 2010. I have that uploaded, and I'm going to I'm planning to put Meaner One up there soon. So, you know, it's like it's a page where you know, it SoundCloud is getting pretty popular. It's like a page where you can listen to the music by playing it on the site, and I'm enabling the download MP3 option also. So, you know, you can go there and download the MP3s to put on your music player or computer or whatever. Or you can, like, bookmark the page and then just go back and play it. Or, you know, so I think, you know, it's a cool way to share the music. And you can group stuff so that it can be like an album or an EP. But then you can either have links to individual songs or that, like, you know, grouping that of songs like that album or whatever. So that, you know, I'm gonna work on getting a, you know, Neater One up there, you know, as its own, you know, album.
That'll be great. I think a lot of people will want to download that and listen to it.
Well, I love Dance with the Dinosaur. I love your singing on that, so I want to go there and listen to it. And well, it'll be that album will be up there soon, and there's already some stuff up there. And then I guess, you know, when we publish new stuff, we'll probably put it up there as well. But put it on our blog and on that site. So if you go to if you want to go to that SoundCloud page, go to soundcloud.com/. DJM Cloud.
Check this out.
So you've been listening to DJMCloud.com podcast number 23 for January 21st, 2012, with me, Daniel J. McKeown, and with my lovely wife, Jessica.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you can send us an email at podcast@sf3am.com. you can check out my website, djmcloud.com. And also there, if you go there and click on podcasts on the top, you can see, you know, all the podcasts and show notes. And you can see Jessica's, you can follow Jessica on Twitter, Jessica McKeown. And you can find her website, jessica.sf3am.com.
We got some good stuff for you.
For sure. And I think that Jessica has some cool music that she's working on too. So we'll not only are we gonna put more stuff on SoundCloud, but then you know we're working on some more stuff.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, well, also, don't forget to follow me. You know, I'm near 100 followers. Of course, this will probably change, and all the, like, random bots and spammers get, like, cut out. I'll probably be down to, like, 12 followers next time, like, we talk. But right now, I'm on the very edge of 100 followers. I go up and down on the edge of 100 followers on Twitter.
I see that. I see you at 99.
Yeah, so, you know, get some people to follow me on Twitter for a little while. And then, you know, I can teeter over 100 for a while until they do another round of cleaning out of spam bots and fake sites. At Pacific Public.